Thank you for coming. Good to see each and every one. Before we open the word, shall we just have a little word of prayer? Our Father, we just think for a moment of what we just sung, that God holds the key, and I am glad. We think of the words of the psalmist who says, "My times are in thy hands." Our Father, how we thank thee that our times, our future, are in thy hands. We do know that indeed that we have eternal life. We do know that indeed that we shall be forever with the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee for that knowledge. We thank thee now for bringing us aside. We thank thee for the purpose of what we've come for, is to look into thy holy word for the purpose of gaining something spiritual, something that will help us in our Christian pathway. We would ask indeed, as we read and as we contemplate on the message, that the Holy Spirit will warm our hearts and work through us, indeed, that we might know the Lord Jesus more and thyself. We'd ask thee now to bless us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Now we're continuing and indeed finishing the study in Proverbs this evening. Remember that we said that Proverbs is predominantly a book of spiritual education for the purpose to mould and shape us in strong, sound, spiritual character. That is the purpose of Proverbs. It's written in perhaps a strange way to many of us, but it's very interesting to systematically work through it and see what the purpose is. And if you remember, we were looking last week to see how that book in the Old Testament relates to us today. And we went to 2 Timothy chapter 3, which I would ask you to go again, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we mentioned that in verse 15, Paul tells Timothy that through the reading of the Holy Scriptures, he obtained salvation. He was saved, saved for eternity, saved from the penalty of sin, saved from judgment. But then Paul went on to say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. And we stopped there last week, or fully matured. And we said that there is no other book that really relates to all those things that come through instruction in righteousness. But tonight, I want to look through that last part of that verse. If you look at it, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So last week we looked at the instructions and commandments that a father was giving to a son. Learn them, forget them not. Trust in the Lord, etc. He went on. And then he spoke about wisdom. Because in the book of Proverbs there's two themes we said run through. Two themes. And they're mentioned frequently and often. The fear of the Lord and wisdom. Now the fear of the Lord, as we mentioned, is not fear from judicial penalty, but it means obedience. Obedience and love to God. Appreciating what he wants us to learn. And that's what's running through there. But then there's wisdom. Now wisdom is the application of that knowledge, putting it into effect, making it work. And we said that, you know, we can learn the scriptures, we can know them in depth, but if we don't apply them, they mean nothing. And James sums it right up. In his book, in 2:20, he says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And so we want to look at tonight how we see fear of God and wisdom brought together and illustrated to good works. And we go to the last book of Proverbs, chapter 30, a very interesting portion of scripture. Chapter 31. Now, all the instruction in Proverbs and teaching has been directed to a son. You get this repeatedly, my son, my son, my son. The teaching of the virtues and values of the fear of the Lord and the avoiding of the wrong things to do are all directed to a son. And then we come to chapter 31, and the Spirit of God, remember the Spirit of God is the inspiration of the scriptures, does a unique thing. He changes from a son, and he gives us the illustration in a woman. In a woman. From chapter 1 through to chapter 30, there's no hint of it. And then suddenly, he gives us the perfect example of someone who adheres to the fear of the Lord and exercises it in wisdom is through a woman. Marvelous. That's beautiful, isn't it? Because often the sisters look as if they're left out. But they're not really, are they? Because you go back through scripture. You look at Rebecca. She did, perhaps in the wrong way, but she did the thing when she sent Jacob away. You look at Sarah. She told Abraham to remove the bondwoman from the presence of the camp. We find that in Galatians, that it's Sarah that instructed Abraham, now she's got to go. And she was right. He had to go. You get many other illustrations. And a lovely one is you go to Exodus chapter 1 and you see where Pharaoh was worried about all the male slaves being born. And he told the Israelite women that they had to kill the slaves, the male ones, the young children. But it says there in chapter 1 verse 17, they feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. And they didn't do it. And of course we get Moses and that opens up the whole scripture, doesn't it? And so we could go on. We could get Deborah. But here we've got an unnamed woman that is telling us exactly how we should be. How we should have the knowledge of the Word of God and then apply it in wisdom. Now, chapter 31, it starts with a king getting instructions from his mother, another wise woman. We don't know who these people are. There's been much speculation and we won't spend any time on it. But the wise mother gives instructions to this king. And she gives instructions in 1-3 regarding his relationship with what we might call strange women. Avoid them. And then in 4-7, be careful of the dangers of strong drink. And then in verses 8-9, it's his moral responsibility regarding the poor and needy. And then in verses 10 to 31, he gives us the qualities of a virtuous woman. And we'll read through from 10. And what we got is, it works its way through, and then we will expound on them. We will see that she's got a title, we see her value, we see her character, and then we see her works, then we see her testimony, then we see her praise, and then we see her anticipation. It's quite a bit here, and it's interesting. So if we read from verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For a price is far above rubies. The heart of a husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flaxen, worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth her field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchant's side is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and entereth and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is plain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in her gates. What a passage of scripture. And if we've been facetious, where those of us that are married might say, indeed, who is a merchant's wife? But then we would pay for it when we get home, or if not, before. But here we've got a virtuous wife. If we went to Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 11, we find there that there is a single woman that is a virtuous woman. But here we've got a virtuous woman displayed as a housewife, as a mother, and as a worker. And I want to work through it, and we see that, first of all, it is her title. She's virtuous. Virtuous. Now, the meaning, original meaning of that word is strength. Strength. It's moral strength and excellence. Moral strength and excellence. She is virtuous. She stands out for her moral strength. And if ever we live in a day and age, we need moral strength today to stand up for the things of the Word of God, which we know are right. She is a virtuous woman. We see then her value. It says, for her price is far above rubies. Far above rubies. Many people place a great lot on jewels. There's quite a bit about jewelry in Scripture. Some good, some bad. Malachi tells us that God will make up his jewels, and that is in relation to the nation of Israel. The breastplate of the high priest had the names of the tribes in precious jewels. We see many jewelry shops with their glistening rings and bracelets. If you've ever been to London, when we took our children to the Tower of London, you go down in the darkness and suddenly you see the splendour of this glass, huge glass enclosure. And as you walk around it, you see the crown jewels of England, sparkling, amazing. What they were worth, wouldn't know. This woman is priced above rubies. The word actually is not in relation to rubies, but jewelry. Way above. What we would say today, she's worth her weight in gold, to put it in modern thing. We know the people we've worked with, if we've had staff working for us, and you see someone who does what you want, when you want, and over and above, you think, well, they are worth their weight in gold. But here we've got a woman that is worth her weight in gold. She's worth more than her value. And then we see her character. And we work through, and if you bear with me, because I'm going to mention words and then we go down to a verse. She's God-fearing. Chapter 31, verse 30. It says that she feareth the Lord. So a character is one that is God-fearing. She's caring, verse 15. She riseth also while it is night and giveth meat or food to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's a caring woman. Compassionate, verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She's compassionate. She's consistent. She's not moody. Verse 12. She will do him, that's her husband, good and not evil all the days of her life. Each and every day she will do him good and evil. Here is an illustration, an example of a person that has learnt the word of God and has put it into practice through her works. She is committed. Verse 15, she riseth while it is night. She's committed. She's tireless. Verse 18, she works into the night. She works and she's tireless. She's industrious. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Here is a woman who's industrious, not only on the domestic scene, but also in business. You know, there are those that say women shouldn't work. This is contrary to that. If the family suffers from it, then they shouldn't be. But here it makes it quite clean that this woman, because of the circumstances, she had servants, of course, so that helps. But here we've got a woman who's industrious in the business. So we see her character. Now we move on to her works, her works. We see, first of all, in relation to her husband. She puts her husband first. She supports him in the domestic issue. Verse 11. The heart of her husband thus surely trusts her so that he shall have no need of spoil, because he knows that she supports him. She is there to help him in whatever it is, her good works. She considers his welfare, days and every day. Verse 12, once again, when we talked about his consistency, she's worried and concerned about his welfare. She supports him in his official capacity. Her husband is an elder in the gate, the administration of the city. He's got not only business responsibility, but council responsibility. And she supports him in that. And you know, that is so very, very important for those that are elders. They need the support of their wives, support of their wife. Now her works in relation to the household. That are obviously people of means, and they had servants, maidens. So the household is the children and the maidens. And we're told that in respect of each of these, she provides food. Verse 15, she provides food. She provides clothing in verse 21. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Clothed with scarlet, the best clothing. She provides for them. Here is a woman that's so industrious and busy, but she is concerned for her household. And then she watches over them. Verse 27 tells us, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She's looking after the household. Then we find her works extend from a husband to the household and then to the poor and needy. Verse 30. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She doesn't walk past them and say, sad, they need help. She reaches out. Doesn't tell you what she do, but she obviously does something to help, to ease their pain and their suffering. She reaches out to the poor and needy. Concern for her husband, concern for her household, but concern for them that are less fortunate. We come to her testimony. What is a testimony? What do people think about this woman? It tells us that a testimony is good because her speech is of wisdom and of kindness in verse 26. Wisdom, wise, and she's kind at the same time. This is the testimony of this woman. How often a person has been hurt because of a sharp word. You just don't forget it. You don't forget it. I can go back years when someone has said a sharp word and it hasn't left me. And I wonder, what have I been sharp to someone else? That tongue of ours. But not this woman. Her speech is wisdom. Then it says, she dresses appropriately. She dresses appropriately. She comes from a respectable position. Her husband is in a respectable position. She's a businesswoman and she dresses appropriately. It says there in verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk. The word isn't silk, it's fine linen. Silk had not been introduced at that time, and it's fine linen and purple. She dresses appropriately. And there is a word of advice to each of us, that do we dress appropriately. That doesn't mean to say that we come with a starch collar, a black suit or that, but is it appropriately? She is in purple, notice. Purple is a favourite. It's above scarlet. She's dignity itself. She's displaying her character and her testimony in her dress as well. Her business dealings, the testimony in relation to her business dealings. People that are without, that we call without. Believers should have a good testimony to those who are not believers. Unbelievers watch us closely. They watch us closely in our domestic life, in our church life, and in our business life. How sad to hear sometime when you've heard, you mention to someone that they believe, oh, I would never have thought that they were a Christian. Sad. But not this woman. The merchants dealt with her, and she had a good testimony. And then lastly, and not leastly, she is appreciated by her children and her husband. Verse 28 and verse 11. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also. What a testimony. What a testimony. Here, a testimony among the servants, among the merchants, among her domestic household. And what does it do? It brings forth praises. Praises. And we've got four praises there in verse 28 through. She's praised by her children. She's praised by her husband. She's praised by God because she fears the Lord. She's praised by those in the gates. And she's praised through her works. Through her works. Here we've got what we might call the perfect illustration, example of a person that's put it all together right from the beginning of Proverbs chapter 1. She has learned through fear of the Lord the commandments of the Lord. But she's not only learned them, she's learned how to put them wisely into practice. And the lesson is for us today, surely. We, of course, have got more than what Timothy had when Paul wrote to him, because he says all scripture is inspired, and he's talking there of the Old Testament and Proverbs in particular. But now we have got the New Testament as well. We've got the example of the Lord Jesus. He plainly stated that he carried out the commandments of his Father. He carried out the perfect will of his Father. He was under authority, if you like, because he stepped down. Not leaving his deity, but he stepped down in position to become man. And he carried out his commandments. And then he tells his disciples, My Father has commanded me, I command thee. Keep my commandments. My command is that you love one another. And then we've got the instructions in the epistles themselves. And a few weeks ago we were looking in Colossians chapter 3, and we mentioned there that chapter 3 and 4 of Colossians is demonstrating their faith. And it was to demonstrate, first of all, in the individual believer, then in the assembly, then in the home, then in the domestic situation, and then in the business situation. So we've not only got Proverbs, we've not only got the gospel, we have the epistles to help us. And the purpose is that we might be molded and shaped spiritually. But then we need to add wisdom to it. And James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. We return now to the last part of the lady. It says that, I mentioned that she is her appreciation. She is looking for a further day. She is smiling at it. She realizes that there is something else after all this. And it is so for us too. There is an anticipation for us, because we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, where we shall receive rewards or we will lose rewards according to what we have done. And so it behoves us to look at this woman as an illustration to see how our character should be, how our work should be, how our testimony should be. You notice that there's no mention of teaching. There's no mention of preaching. This woman's testimony is based upon her works. Teaching, preaching is important. But not many are teachers and not many are preachers. But every one of us, including teachers and preachers, have got the responsibility of their testimony through their works. So we come to the end of this book of Proverbs, an interesting one. As I say, it takes a bit of studying, because it's not in our what we might call general layout, I'd like my studies, my instructions to be boom, boom, follow through. This one is different, but it's quite ingenious how the writer does it. And remember that the writer, in the ultimate, is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The book itself was put together by Solomon and others who couldn't live up to what they were writing. But the Spirit of God brought this woman in at the end to illustrate just what God is looking for each and every one of us. Shall we close with a hymn, please? 647. 647.